Okay, this is Finn's Natural History. So, I'm going to do two different things in this episode. One, I just want, a big shout out to two recent, games that have appeared on the Steam community market. One is Saurian, where you will play in a realistically created simulation of the Hokie Formation as, currently only a Dakota Raptor, but they're going to expand to cover Pachycephalosaurus, Triceratops, and Tyrannosaurus Rex. And the other is Taito Ecology, which is basically what the developers of Saurian had to do before they made Saurian. So you create your own ecosystem, and, watch it grow and develop, add consumers, producers. Just a really great nature game. Okay. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing was, starting now, I'm going to be dividing these episodes into three parts. I'll have the zoology part, and bear in mind that these are just very loose outlines, ways that I can organize my show notes and things. The zoology part, the paleontology part, and the botany part. And when possible, I'll try to make those blend and mix as well as I can. And, yeah. We'll do that. So, without further ado, let's begin the zoology part. So, dinosaurs. Wait, no. That's my paleontology script. Sorry. Let's talk about the Humboldt squid. What's it? Humboldt squid. They're like a little, I say little, they're like 3 feet long. Red squid. They're known as the Red Devils locally in Patagonia, Tierra del Fuego, which is where they live. Very little is known about them. They're very classic deep water squid. They are red, they exhibit many squiddish behaviors. Whatever those are. And, yeah, they're just very, very squiddy squids. And then also, let's talk about the sperm whale. Or pygmy sperm whale. So, pygmy sperm whales are similar to sperm whales, the big ones. And, except their foreheads are, like, more rounded. They look like a toy version of the normal sperm whales. And sperm whales, like, when I say sperm whale, I mean the big sperm whale. When I say pygmy sperm whale, I mean pygmy sperm whale. Just want to put that out there. And sperm whales do not have teeth in their upper jaw, only the lower jaw. I do not know if the same is true for pygmy sperm whales. I suspect it is, based on what I know of their taxonomy, but, I have not been able to get my hands on a suitable cladogram, so, I don't really know. Yeah, back into botany. So, not back into botany. Let's talk about... Also, did anyone catch the reference of, instead of sperm whale and giant squid, pygmy sperm whale and Humboldt squid? Which, as far as I know, do not share a ecological relationship, but I just thought that would be, kind of cool to do. So, botany. Botany is the study of plants, for those of you who do not know, similar as zoology is the study of animals, and paleontology is the study of, like... old animals? Yeah, old study of extinct animals. Or plants. Or, yeah. And then there's similarly, like, paleotectonics. Paleo everything, really. Paleobotany. Paleozoology. Yeah. So, botany. me talk about the only flowering plant that lives in the ocean. The seagrass, or turtle grass. It mostly grows off the coast of Australia is one of its major spots. In the Caribbean is another of its major spots. I had the good fortune to go to Puerto Rico pre-hurricane and observed some pretty decent seagrass beds. They're called turtle grass because they're turtles' primary food source. And, cool fact, I just learned this from the new BBC documentary, like Planet Earth 2 or Blue Planet 2 or something. Bull sharks will chase turtles around because they want to prey on turtles. And that means that the turtles don't overgraze any one particular area because they're being chased around by these bull sharks. So I think they're bull sharks. Could be tiger sharks. Yeah, they might be tiger sharks. Again, if anyone wants to research any of the stuff I say on their own time and put it in the comments, that'd be great. I'm lazy, and I can only research so much. So, yeah. And now to paleontology. So, let's talk about Oviraptor. Well, Oviraptorids. First of all, we know almost nothing about Oviraptor. I mean, almost nothing. Not for sure. Almost everything we think we know about it comes from its very close relative, Stittipati, which gives us most of the illustrations we have of Oviraptor. And Stittipati, well, Oviraptor's skull was found with, it was just like the little head crest. That was, I believe, literally the only Oviraptor fossil that was found and has been found since. So Oviraptorids are, and specifically Oviraptor, are basically just a very overpopulized group. Although there were some pretty cool types, including one, it was called Gigantoraptor, and they found like one leg bone. And it was as tall as an adult human. That was the juvenile. Just think on that. The juveniles, just their leg bone, their hip bone, was as tall as any of my adult listeners, I guess. So the entire animal would probably have been taller than my house, which is about 10 feet-ish. Yeah, 10 feet-ish. And then we have the adult, which based on what I know of growth rates of Oviraptorids, just to say not much, probably would have been, I'm just going to say pretty ginormous. Yeah, pretty ginormous. Okay, that's going to conclude this episode.